I am not Donato Ramos Jr. I am neither good-looking nor charming enough to fill those shoes. I'm Jasper Mason. I'll be your MC for the rest of the afternoon. And I understand Professor Anderson has already been introduced this morning, so I won't repeat Donato's remarks. This is still Professor Owen Anderson. He is still at the University of Texas School of Law, and he's here to finish up part two of the case law update. Please give him a warm welcome.
Okay, thank you. Well, part two, I selected a kind of a hodgepodge of cases here for part two. This is a follow-up to kind of the Wensky case that kind of shocked a lot of title examiners a few years back. Here we have a party that has a 45% mineral interest in 320 acres, and he conveys 72 net mineral acres, which works out to be basically half of his 45%, if you want to do the math like we were doing this morning. And he conveyed his interest in royalties accruing or to accrue, but made no reference to any outstanding royalty interests or the other 55% mineral interest. So at issue is really who was burdened by these royalty interests that were outstanding. And the court held kind of in line with Wensky that the parties would proportionally share those NPRIs. The court's reasoning was that the subject to clause in the lease only referred to outstanding oil and gas leases, made no mention to the NPRIs, although under Wensky, not exactly clear whether that would have necessarily made a difference. So they applied Wensky. They distinguished, actually without distinguishing the facts, which were somewhat different. They also relied on a statement out of Trial versus Dragon that the Duhigg rule was to be applied very narrowly. And so that was kind of the basis for that particular decision. Total Energies deals with the question of what are 14 new wells? And the court held that they could be vertical or horizontal wells, even though these wells were to be drilled in the Barnett Shale. There were provisions in the lease that talked about horizontal wells and about vertical wells throughout the contract, but the amendment, which required 14 new wells to be drilled, just talked about well. So the court rejected the airport's argument that in the Barnett Shale, it's only horizontal drilling there, so therefore that should essentially be implied into the obligation. And the court said no. Then we have a similar obligation drilling in this case, only one well. It's supposed to be a horizontal well, supposed to be drilled by a certain date, or pay $500,000 in liquidated damages. And they extended that drilling date by a few months. And then 1 week before that deadline, Flat Creek, who was the lessee, released the lease under the release clause of the lease, which, of course, had the normal language and thereby be relieved of all obligations thereafter accruing. So the court said that the notwithstanding clause didn't preclude release of the lease, so therefore the lessee could release the lease and the obligation to drill by a certain deadline. And the court's mind was apparently a thereafter accruing obligation, which may be a little bit questioning to some of you. But to me, the lesson in this case, and you see this in a lot of Texas cases, is that language, notwithstanding anything to the contrary, at least in the eyes of the Texas court, is construed somewhat narrowly. And so it wasn't contrary to the lease to release it. And so therefore, the notwithstanding clause didn't make any difference in that case.